Agenda Committee on Energy and Environment, 6 June 1983, Monday, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m., hearing room 343. Hearing to be held on Senate Bill 122, amended, and Acts Water Resources Conservation and Management Act to clear state water policy, abolish water policy review board, create Water Resources Commission, and other provisions. Senator John Kachaba, presiding.
Come to order, please. First item here quickly will be Senate Bill 243, and Senator Cohen, why don't you, and maybe can bring us up to date on the status there. You and Senator Day, I was not here right at the end of the meeting on Friday.
253.
What do you want to do?
You know, I had to work at 223.
Well,
because I missed the end of the thing on Friday.
We had some amendments that were flawed considerably, and over the weekend I gave some pondering to it, and have asked Legislative Council to repair the amendments very basically. There's two areas. The first part of the amendments would let DEQ or sports fish as the agricultural interest presume would introduce the idea and petition the Water Policy Board to review the minimum stream flow. The other one is that how long do they wait before they take action? What period of time? The amendments, the way they were drawn, would mean that at the end of 2 years, if no action was taken, you could never bring up, they dismiss them, and you never could bring up another minimum stream flow. Quite what we had in mind, okay? My notion was that if we're going to have someone apply, then I think that they must take in a period of time, we talked about somewhere between 2 and 5 years, but that some decision should be made up or down, and a finding of why they rejected or why they felt it was worthwhile, and that those findings be on the record so that we just don't stay in limbo forever and ever. If they decided that there was no substance to it, then the findings and the record would show accordingly. And of course, if you've watched the Government Operations Committee this afternoon, some of the greatest criticisms of the department has been is the fact that though entrees have been made by sports fish and DEQ, that there are problems with minimal stream flow, sometimes just nothing transpires. So you're trying to get a priority set up, you're trying to get some findings, and at least the way I feel, and it doesn't have to be for the committee, I mean, you can do what you want to, but I feel if we're going to do this, that there ought to be a time frame within 2 or 3 years that they act one way or the other, yes or no. And I don't think you should be precluded that they couldn't come in another time, okay? And that the priorities of that agency be directed, that when they get those, that at least some decisions made, because I have tons of material that I think you have as well, but I know Senator Starkovich read, where requests have been made to take a look at this, and just no action, just no transparency. So where we left it was, we were going to go back to the drawing board and get some additional amendments. I talked to Legislative Council. I don't know, they're going to get them out as fast as we can, but that's what I asked to be drawn up, and hopefully as an alternative, what we saw on Friday, and that's where we left it.
Okay, my concern, and this is to sort of update the other committee members who were there, is that by the sub-4, which you probably have somewhere in your books, that as it was originally drafted, it just wiped out the priority date that was given at the time of application. Meaning, as far as I was concerned, it really, the guts of that bill is that when you apply for a minimum stream flow, when the agencies apply to have a minimum stream flow declared, that there is some priority date given as to the order of preference of how you stand in terms of being a junior right after that time. And I felt that after, certainly at 2 years, you'd be wiping out the priority date, meaning you'd really done not much, if anything. except within a two-year period of time, if in fact you've gotten something approved, that you're essentially just creating another whole merry-go-round for everyone thinking you've done something, and then you go back to zero and start over again. And the question I have still is, assuming we set a five-year period that you have to act and the application is null and void at that point in time, just because they haven't gotten around to it, then what happens to all the people who have submitted withdrawal requests during that time period versus somebody who submits a withdrawal request in the second time frame? How that all fits together is a major concern if you stop it and start over periodically. And we know that with the whole certification process, and appreciably it's a different issue, but it has to do with water use in terms of what you think you're going to use, and then finally when it's approved. So I don't know what committee members feel about it. I think the main portion of the bill is the fact that the priority date does set a time period that the rights, until the minimum stream flow is established and we finally know what and if that is, then those rights are junior to that. So I'm not sure whether we can rectify what we're talking about here. Maybe there's some miracle workers down there in legislative council who can grasp something.
So, Sturgeon?
Senator Cohen, why do you need, maybe you're saying you don't need subsection 4.
It's more, yes, I would, but I think Senator Day is saying he wants to find something as an alternative to sub 4. And I'm saying I'm not sure that we need sub 4 based on the fact that we're all going to try to get them to move, and that the fact that there are rights out there being applied for and that are in the process of being junior, that will hopefully create enough clamor to get them to move in that way.
Is there any other?
It's the only agency I've ever known where you can have applications made and then it just stays in limbo for 1,000 years. I don't know of any public policy that I'm going to support along that line anymore. I've had it. We are going to get a decision. I'm not talking about a decision for failure to act. I mean, they will act. They got to make a finding of why they reject it or why they accept it within a time frame. As a matter of fact, when you talk about 5 years, they ought to be able to do it. I think it ought to be done in a couple years. I really do. I see no reason why all these should accumulate without some affirmative action. If it isn't worthy and it isn't correct, then they ought to dismiss it and say so.
Well, what about having some other commission, say EQC or Fish and Wildlife, establish the flow of the Water Policy Review Board?
That's okay.
Well, we already went through that. Our subcommittee had a major disagreement on, okay? Major disagreement on how we were going to approach that. You made the decision on 225, you recall. So I'm not going to read
that. Well, why don't I say, yes, sir.
Senator Day, have you looked at their budget, on the budget question that came up?
Well, I've looked at it. You're asking me. I looked at it about months ago when we were on the subcommittee. The thing that bothers me about it, you know, agriculture has every right to gripe, is when we start going at this minimum stream flow and we find deficiencies, where are we going to direct our resources to try to rectify those problems? You follow what I'm trying to say? Now, we've got something like $50 million of bonding authority, as I recall, and maybe that's off, but it's close to $50 million. And I don't think we as a subsidy committee have really come to grips on how we want that directed. You follow me? Ways and Means may do it. Hopefully they will. But I would like to see them as part of this study of 225, part of the study, that if they find deficiencies in minimum stream flow, that our policies of bonding authority be directed to help rectify that, because there are certain property rights that are going to be directly affected by this once they find that it's been over appropriated. So in answer to your question, I have not looked at their budget entirely. I do know this, that in the past, according to the subcommittee testimony, There's been a consistent policy of the legislature to have to go ahead on the permitting authority and not putting money so that we'd have a database. In fact, they requested, the department did more than once, a computer hardware, software, and what have you, to actually develop the database. In order to get the database just for minimum stream flow, we have an estimate of something in excess of $1 million. I think that'd be an excellent thing that should be done, because I do believe this is going to be a hot potato, a real hot potato, over the next 8 to 10 year period. And the sooner we get sports fish, DEQ, and the Water Resources Board in tandem on a database, and I don't think anyone disagrees with that. It's a question of how you raise the funds in order to achieve that. That's number one. But none of those things have been answered in that budget, to my knowledge, at this time, I've never heard. None of them.
Okay, I'm wondering, and I'm not familiar with this, but as far as their budget, I'm not on that subcommittee, but I'm wondering about the cuts in personnel in the Water Resources Department, how severe they've been. I think it's something maybe that we should take a look at, because that could influence, like, some of the speedy replies that you were talking about, and that sort of thing could make a big difference. And I just don't know how severe those cuts have been.
Sir Cole?
I'm willing to wait till Wednesday, but I just think we have to cut a fish bait about that time, and so people need an extra couple of days at this point. If we can get some language, I'm not here to say I disagree with you. I think we ought to try to deal with it. But I think at that point in time, it's clear. It's up to the chair.
Well, I'd certainly be willing to see if we could come to some agreement on subsection 4. So. Let's understand. You have contacted Chuck down
council, and but if you feel comfortable with the bill, just go ahead and vote it out. I'm not going to support it, but you can vote it out that way if you want.
Well,
I don't think there's any disagreement in the first part.
Yeah.
Just support.
We may have to do that Wednesday, but let's give it a shot and see if we can get some compromise language on that area.
Well, and I'll go back down to Ways and Means to determine what their staffing is, because I haven't really looked at it for a while. We examined that budget pretty thoroughly in this subcommittee that we
just
have.
A staffing question. I don't, you know, the rest of it. I think the cuts have been made in, say, the last couple of biennium.
Okay. Yeah. We'll close the session at 2:23 and open work session on Senate Bill 237. Mr. Eagle. Should have a copy of the.
I just got it.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Ron Eber with the Department of Land Conservation and Development. In looking at the proposed Legislative Council draft number 7 to Senate Bill 237, my review shows that. What the department proposed or suggested on Friday, those amendments have been incorporated into this draft. There are two minor items that had been handwritten in the draft we were working from that we assumed were in the bill that are not in this draft before you, and I would point those out. On page 5, line 28, where it says public or private schools, I believe, it was supposed to say including all buildings essential to the operation.
Slow it down, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, which page?
Page five, line 28.
Line 28.
Public or private schools. The draft we had also included the language.
Oh boy.
After school said including
you
all buildings.
You better believe it included that, and we want it in it. We voted it, and that's okay. The way it's going to be. That keeps coming out every 5 minutes.
Okay. You want to read the deleted language?
Including all buildings. Essential to the operation of the school.
That's right.
So the full sentence would say public or private schools, including all buildings essential to the operation of the school.
Okay.
And on page 7, lines 6 and 7, after the word producing, would say at least for the figure of $2,500. And between the word from and crops, later on that line, it would say, add the word the. And on line 7, between the word products and the word on, you would add to be raised. So all of subparagraph B would read, is not smaller than the average farm or woodlot in the county, producing at least $2,500 in annual gross income, from the crops, livestock, or forest products to be raised on the farm unit or woodlot.
Okay.
Those had been in an earlier version.
The chair would move that they be added to this, although we shouldn't have to do that, but we'll just do it for the record as rejection. Correct.
Okay. Those are the only changes that you saw? Pardon me, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, that's all right.
Have you gone through this pretty thoroughly?
Yes, I did. So when I got the version this evening, the amendments we proposed on Friday are in here, and the handwritten version that we had, those were the only two omissions that I spotted.
Okay, have you gone over the lot of record?
Yes, it was, as we suggested. That's on page 4, lines 4 and 5, where we added in the dates.
You give us just a minute, Mr. Chairman, certainly, please.
Certainly.
May I ask a question, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator Hammy.
Regarding, again, the $20,000 significant gross income, are you comfortable with asking a constituent to bring in all their IRS forms to show a gross income of $20,000 or more? Are you comfortable expecting counties to request that kind of personal information?
Well, for myself, that's a difficult question to answer. I didn't devise the formula. Our reaction to that on Friday was to suggest that that information is provided to assessors now for determining farm deferral, and it may not require the use of one's federal or even state income tax returns. There is language in the tax statutes now that simply allows the assessor to rely on other types of information as well for determining whether or not that gross income had been met. Could use extension agents or other information.
Mr. Chairman, is there, picking up on Senator Hamby's question, that's the only area really that I'm concerned about. Is there anyone that still expresses concern or just downright opposition to that?
The county?
The $20,000. Well, but I mean, that would be oriented in the agriculture area.
Not that has been brought to my attention. The farm community, agriculture community is very comfortable with that figure. And I have endorsed the bill. The governor's office is comfortable with the figure.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Day?
I think it's fair to say that the counties are concerned a little bit. We've gone over this about three different times, and if the only other choice that we have is to give the rulemaking power to the commission and let them hold hearings and try to define it, because I understand this information is available, particularly when you get into farm tax deferral. They have to furnish this type of information anyway, and that's why, and that's what the type of information they're going to need. Have you gone over this, Mr. Chairman? Have you had a chance to read?
It's like the vote by mail. You kind of do a little experiment out there.
Let's not get personal.
We come in and say it's 10. There are other, can't qualify.
Any other serious questions, Mr. Chairman?
Mr.
Chair. Sir Haley?
I know on behalf of Washington County, anyway, I would, regarding the law, on the top lines 4 and 5 on page 4, the dates 48 through 78, would feel comfortable inserting language rather for those individuals from 78 today, but at the time of the ordinance, or something that might be able to pick up those that...
I believe that's what we originally had, and we wanted to narrow it a little bit.
I'd be a little concerned with that.
Right.
I believe using these dates are do what the most people intended to do, but the opening of the way it was, I think you had that rather wide open on a lot of record.
Yes, I think we do.
Okay.
We
all set?
Yeah.
That's it.
You don't need that. Do you need this to go, you need a motion?
We need a motion set to the floor. We just sent it down to council, and it's going to get engrossed, but we can...
Okay, I felt it was on the floor already, Mr. Chairman, subject to your drawing it back.
That was, in deference to several members that wanted to...
No problem.
Wait till the week. Senator Cohen moves that amended Senate Bill 237A-7 be sent to the floor via the engrossing room.
With the changes that have been ordered?
With the changes that have been ordered, and I will personally make sure that those are typeset.
You don't take care of my churches, friend.
And golf courses.
The golf courses are okay. The churches seem to get out of there from time to time.
Is there any discussion? Thank you, Rob.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Hurd,
in a conversation we had prior to the meeting, I think you indicated that the counties had some amendments, but that you were suggesting that they go to the House.
My suggestion, yes, the counties do so nurse this bill. We have been working on this bill for a number of weeks, and the counties have expressed opposition to the bill without providing any amendments for changes, and I think at this late date it is inappropriate. I would encourage them to bring those amendments up on the House side. Further discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Day.
Aye.
Senator Cohen.
Aye.
Senator Sparkman.
Aye.
Senator Hamby.
Aye.
Senator Hurd.
Aye.
Senator
Kutabi. Aye. So thank you very much. Now we'll open the hearing on Senate Bill 122. Representative Troop, do you have...
I want to introduce a couple of constituents and groups that are organized here. If you want to do some...
Okay, we had a couple of folks who wanted to lead off on this, and then... Okay, very good. See, let's first call Mary Irie of the Salem League of Women Voters. Here, excuse me. And Audrey, did you want Linda Dice to come up too? Welcome. State your name for the record and proceed.
Members of the committee. For the record, I'm Mary Eyre. The same venerable Mary Eyre described in the State and Journal's editorial last Saturday. New adjective for me. Today I appear as a member of the Oregon League of Women Voters in support of Senate amendments to Senate Bill 122, dated May 5th. Now, I don't suppose the Statesman Journal used venerable in the religious sense. Somebody's trying to get a church in here. as the editorial had to do with historic preservation, I trust they were meaning to call forth respect through age, character, and attainments. That's me. Similarly, I know well but that's the motive of the other young women of the league when they asked me to appear here today. That is to impress upon you that an 86-year-old woman actively supports the vision and purpose contained in Senate Bill 122 as amended. Water might very well be the cornerstone for Oregon's economic growth, often thought to be abundant, and after this past winter, you'd have a hard time convincing me that we never have a shortage, but we know it is not a limitless resource. Some parts of the state have little or none at all. Simply put, without water, you can't have growth. In fact, you can't have life. Water and land go hand in hand. I've long supported Oregon's land use planning efforts, but land use planning rapidly comes to naught if basic resources, such as water, are not inventoried and husbanded to support life and growth. Senate Bill 122, as amended, would assure that surface and groundwater are inventoried so that coordinated land use and economic development planning can go forward in a manner that husbands another limited resource, money. I'm reminded of an Eastern Oregon community that was seeking acknowledgement by LCDC of its comprehensive plan. The community projected and planned for growth far exceeding its present population. LCDC turned down the plan because the growth planned and hoped for simply could not be supported by the limited water resources available. And while the city didn't like that decision, it took on new meaning when the wells ran dry the next year. We simply must inventory as accurately as possible Oregon's surface and groundwater resources. Industry, municipalities, tourism, agriculture, and recreation are among the direct beneficiaries of water resource inventories. I know it's popular to wave the economic development flag right now, but before we go charging off into the sunset aimed at stimulating economic growth, we'd better take stock of our resources, water resources specifically, and coordinate that information with our land use and economic development plans. Senate Bill 122, as amended, will promote equitable and balanced allocation of water resources so that through coordinated efforts, water may well be the harbinger of Oregon's economic growth and the keystone to all our economic and land use planning. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I'm Linda Dynas, the three-day-old new president of the League of Women Voters of Oregon. I would like to read a resolution. Whereas Oregon needs and must have inventories of surface and groundwaters available for growth, whereas industry, agriculture, municipalities, tourism, and recreation are among the beneficial uses in need of this information, whereas Oregon needs wise management in the handling of water resources, whereas Oregon needs equity and balance among all users in the allocation of this most basic natural resource, now therefore be it resolved that the League of Women Voters of Oregon in convention at Eugene, Oregon, June 3, 1983, hereby supports the Senate amendments to Senate Bill 122 in order to assure equity and balance in the management of our water resources.
Thank you. Are there questions for you? Thank you very much.
Now, who would want to question Mary Ann?
Who would dare? You got it.
LB, I didn't have my hearing aids turned up.
The chairman asked Aunt Mary.
I resent the way you all talk among yourselves, and I can't hear anything.
Right. We're going to repeat it for you right now. The chairman said, were there any questions? And I said, I don't think we'd dare. And he said, who would dare ask any questions of Aunt Mary Ayers?
Oh, it's been done.
Oh, but not very often, okay? Not very often.
That would have worked.
Yeah.
Okay. Roger Wood, if we have Roger Wood come up for a moment. Roger's been doing some kind of analysis of this bill, and I think it'd be a good idea to briefly have him just run through the part. I'm going to get to Tom. I'm going to get to Tom. Roger, I wonder if you could just dash through the measure summary here and then your little matrix that you...
My name is Roger Wood, and the thing you're referring to is dated June 6th, is that correct?
Yes.
May 5th.
No, we have two. May 5th.
May 5th.
And
okay. That's this folder. Do the committee members have the staff analysis?
Yes, should have that.
Okay, I'm going to paraphrase from it, if I may.
Yes, please do.
The purpose of the bill is to address four problems that are identified in the bill at various places in various policy statements. The purpose of the bill is to implant the concept of public water rights for beneficial in-stream uses into Oregon's water laws. Purpose one. Purpose number two, to redirect the priorities of the Water Resources Department and of the Policymaking Advisory Board for the Water Resources Department, which are deemed by the Office of the Bill to be unbalanced towards one particular beneficial use. Third purpose is to amend or repeal certain sections of the water law that have, that contain language which is thought to be discretionary or confusing or somehow or another prohibiting the establishment of base flows, for example, or dealing with the groundwater problems in eastern Oregon. And then lastly, to deal with questions concerning existing water rights and how they might be affected by the bill. Do you want me to talk section by section about...
I just wanted to give kind of a brief overview. Could you also go over the... where is that?
The June 6th
amendments real briefly.
Okay.
Maybe Roger, if I could ask you to quickly summarize what's in the elaboration of the four goals on the May 5th amendment first.
It's a 65-section bill, and so I'm going to mention some sections that will sort of direct you to where the bill solves or attempts to solve, at least addresses the problems that I just enumerated. Relating to public water rights for in-stream beneficial uses and implanting that concept in Oregon law more firmly, Sections 14 of the bill, Section 14 in particular, lays out that concept. Section 21 includes several definitions that would be added to Oregon law that attempt to put that definition to Oregon law for the first time. Sections 22 and 32 also insert that concept of public water rights for base flows into